Hello, friends. Grace to you, and welcome to the DDP for the 24th of September. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says in verse 13, "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? Those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar." This is what we've talked about before, in that the Jewish tabernacle temple system was designed to be the provision for the priests and his family, which means they were to partake of the things that were on the altar. They were to eat the things of the temple. That was their portion of the inheritance. That was in lieu of having property and a land inheritance. "Even so," 14, "the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." This is an interesting passage in that there's not a direct command from the Lord that we do this. Does this mean Paul's making this up? Well, I don't think so. I think we could take two things. One, we could maybe have a looser interpretation of something Jesus actually said. And two, we could assume that the Apostle Paul heard this from the Lord Jesus. I will take two to be an assumption that we can't prove, but one that seems likely. The first option, which is to take something a little looser that Jesus said, might happen in, let's say, Matthew 10. When Jesus sends the 12 in Matthew 10:5, he says, "Don't go into the way of the Gentiles, don't enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food." There's the text. That's one that we could take from Jesus to be more loosely interpreted as, let your provision come from those who eat your spiritual food. Let the worker be worthy of his food. So as he works in the realm of the spirit, let him partake in the realm of the material. That could be Paul's reference. That's Matthew 10:10. Because again, he says in 1 Corinthians 9:14, "Even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live with the gospel." A third option is that Paul is taking the Old Testament instruction that the priesthood lives off of what comes into the temple sacrificial system to be God commanding those ministers to live of that which they minister. He could be taking that to be a command. And then he sort of turns, because here he is commanding, look, you know, if you're in the gospel, you live of the gospel, you're giving to people spiritually, take from them materially. And he sort of has a turn in 15, "But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void." In other words, or this is the way it seems to me, Paul says, look, there's all this scriptural precedent, stuff like don't muzzle the ox when it treads the corn, the priest take off the altar, the Lord commands those to live by the gospel. But, you know, I haven't done any of that. I haven't used any of these scriptures to try to convince you to give to me. I haven't used any of this to try to convince you, but because it kind of says to me, don't jump me if I receive for ministry's sake. B, take care of those guys that are ministering to you at Corinth. It feels like one of those, here's what I could be asking of you, but I'm not. In the meantime, all of the guys that are taking care of you there in the Corinthian church, take care of them. I feel like, in a way, that Paul's argument in this middle of the ninth chapter is an advocacy for those who are in ministry in the Corinthian church in Paul's absence. Perhaps he's heard that they're having a difficult time making it, that the Corinthians aren't feeling any compulsion or necessity to support them. And so Paul gives this little message. There's no way around this, guys. When we're just because we're in grace and the finished work, there are going to be times of instruction. There are going to be times when we say the word "you ought to" or "you should." Those times should never be connected to your righteousness, but they should be connected to your future health and access. And I didn't mean health physically, though I guess that could be in some cases. But they should deal with your access to food spiritually. Because if we don't say we don't give at all, because we're not under the obligation of giving a tithe, and so we just stop giving, then that which we want and need goes away. Because God doesn't fund this with magical coins from heaven. He funds it through people who find it necessary to support it. And that's Paul's argument, I believe. 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. In short, Paul's saying, I'm going to do this whether I'm paid or not. And man, do I understand that. I've been in ministry for 26 and a half years. I've preached it when I got nothing. I've preached it when I had the promise of receiving nothing. I've preached it going to school. I've preached it going to college. I've preached it with multiple jobs. For at least half of my life, ministry was not the bulk of my, or at least half of my ministry, ministry was not the bulk of my income. I kept ministering anyhow. Now, I've hit patches where I felt like, I don't know if I can go on. This has been a long time, by the way, but I remember years ago thinking, if ministry's going to happen, it's just going to have to happen. I got to do other things. And you know, it's one of the reasons why I know to this day that I'm gifted and I'm called, because I've faced ministry possibilities many times in the past. Well, if it dries up, it dries up. You know, what are you going to do? And then we keep going. And there's always doors that open, and a way, and a means, and a place, and a purpose. And so it tells me that's what we're called to do. It's the advice I give a lot of young ministers who want to get into ministry, or they feel a call to ministry. And I've said, and I think I started saying it tongue in cheek, but I really mean it. My first response is try to get out of it, because if you're not really called and the gift's not really there, you don't want to do this. It's not the life you want to choose. So try to get out of it. If you can't get out of it, then you know it's for you. And as you proceed onward, you'll find out if you're called, because if you're truly called and you're truly gifted, you'll do it anyway. You'll find a way to do it. You'll find a way to get the word out. When I started doing the Deeper Daily podcast about 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago, one of the reasons that I did it was I needed another outlet. We were going off of national television. We'd been on national television for nearly 3 years. Radio had run its course. I did radio for 20 years, nearly, in one form or the other. And I saw the handwriting on the wall that I thought that was passing away. And there was this new thing, new technology, digital technology, podcast. I didn't even know what a podcast was, but I'd heard about it. I needed another outlet. I was pastoring and all of that, writing books, but another outlet, because there were other things to say, and we just did it. No promise of reward. That's what I mean. You just do it because it's what you are, and you can't do anything else. And I don't mean you don't have the ability to do anything else. I mean you have to do it. Paul calls it necessity laid upon me. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. If it's against my will, I've been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. We'll talk about verse 18 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.